applies very much to what we're doing now. Tu Bishvat is a yontif that takes us to a different level. It shows us the joy and the pleasure in Yiddishkeit. Because if you think about it, there are seven, I don't know if you want to say kinds is the word, right? That Israel is praised. And they're not all fruits, only five of them are. And two is wheat and barley. And yet the custom is that on Tu Bishvat, maybe some people have, but most people's custom is to eat fruits. We don't find people having wheat or barley. You don't find fancy cakes. That's not the thing that's been done, or challah, no. But it's been the fruit. Why? Because the idea of Tu Bishvat is the pleasure. Fruit is definitely not a necessity. Fruit, and especially I find the fruits that Eretz Yisrael is praised with, they're actually very different types of fruits, not the regular run-of-the-mill. I mean, nowadays we get fruit so often, so we're a bit more spoiled. But a fig, a date, it's a real delicacy. And it still is quite an expensive fruit. And we know, I mean, now with the knowledge that we have, the nutrients, the fig is so full of tremendous, it's such a gift, really. They all are. And pomegranates, but they're not the normal. And they're just a matter of extra pleasure. And that's really what we do when we come and we learn. So we have to learn. We have to know what to do. That's what we learn halacha for. But Torah is such a magnificent thing that it's not just a book of rules. It gives us so much depth and so much insight and so much pleasure, in a sense, and adds such a beautiful dimension to life. And that's what Tu Bishvat is. So it's actually a very special day to reflect upon that special gift that Hashem gives us, to enjoy the things that we have and to be able to take pleasure in the things that we have, which is an extra beautiful, not necessary dimension, but, well, what's life without that? Okay, so coming back to our tzitzis. So last week we did a lot, and I want to do a few more of the mefarshim. We'll do some inside and some not. I'll tell you what page. And then we have one pasuk that we can't skip. In the paragraph of tzitzis that we say in the Shema, we say it every day. So it says also, what's the point of the tzitzis? As we said, the positive point is a reminder. It sits there, it hangs there, and it reminds. So it constantly reminds you of the 613 mitzvahs. But then it says, and what does it prevent you from? V'lo yisasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem, right? That you won't stray after your heart and after your eyes, that you do stray, tend to stray after. So I want to concentrate a little bit on that pasuk afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's said in a sort of, in the negative way, but we have to also understand it in the positive way as well. So we're going to get to that in a minute. But what I'd like to do on your, in front of you, if you go to page number 5, there's a beautiful Balaturim, and I just want to see that one inside. In the Balaturim, it explains v'asu lahem tzitzis. It's in the middle of the page number 5, that you should make for them tzitzis. So, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani roitze shetiyu me'utafim kimalachim, levush habadim. So one of the things of the tzitzis, as we know, we think of tzitzis as the small tzitzis, but really the talus is the tzitzis. The small tzitzis are called talus katan, right? The other one is, so what do the men do with talus? They wrap themselves. The idea of a tzitzis, and especially when they make the bracha, if you ever see a man making, usually they do it in shul, but if you ever see, they literally wrap themselves all around with the talus when they make the bracha. And here he says that, this is what Hashem said. Hashem says, I want to see them wrapped like the angel who was wrapped all in the white holiness. So it's like a figurative kind of a thing, in a sense, where a person wraps themselves. So I saw something beautiful that it says wrapping in Torah has the concept of humility. When you wrap yourself, that means that you are sort of almost disappearing with the thing around you. And this is the idea of giving yourself totally over to Hashem. So that's the picture, in a sense, of what the tzitzis is. And then he says, Lochein Siva, b'tcheles, and that's why also it's commanded to have, as we mentioned, the tcheles, shedoy milarakia, which is similar in color to the sky, and l'kisei hakavod, to the throne, to the Hashem seat, because that, as we say, is, so to speak, figuratively again, in the heavens. And the idea being that we are transporting ourselves to a higher realm. That's the idea. And then a very beautiful thing, which is not so known, because we mentioned the most famous one last time was the gematria of the tzitzis being 600, and then the 8 and strings and the 5 knots. But today, let's see, he says tzitzis, and you know in gematria, there's different ways of doing it. There's also atbash. That means you take the aleph, become the top. So we're not going to go into it, but Sitis actually adds up to kissy, my chair, my throne. The idea being that when you wear the Tzitzis, you're transported to the higher realm, to almost as if you're standing before Hashem on his throne. And then he says Tzitzis, another thing, gematria, Tzitkus. Tzitkus literally, righteousness. And another gematria, Nisharim. Nisharim are eagles. What's the concept? So he says, Loimar, Mishu Zohir b'mitzvah tzitzis, somebody who's careful in the wearing of tzitzis, in the mitzvah of tzitzis, Zoyche v'roye pnei shechina, actually merits to see the pnei shechina, as it says, Ani b'tzedek echze panecha. In Tehillim, David HaMelech says, with righteousness, I get to see your... with righteousness, I get to see your face, which some people translate beautifully, actually, that's why we give tzedakah before davening. Because if you give tzedakah, which is tzedek, then you will be able to come before Hashem and face to face and converse with him. But here we're saying tzitzis. Tzitzis is also tzedek, the gematria. And therefore, if you wear tzitzis, you can come before Hashem and you can daven. Another thing also, what you will merit, which is beautiful, to v'esa eschem al kanfei nisharim, that Hashem will carry us on the wings of eagles, which means he, again, literally, that's what we're waiting for, to transport all of us to Israel to the time of Mashiach. Then he says, ureisem, and you will see it. Begematria tzitzis bayoyim. Now, last we went into this, I won't go again, but we said, tzitzis, when is the mitzvah of tzitzis? Really during the day. That's why women don't wear tzitzis, because, nice to see you, Lisa. Good morning. Tzitzis is a mitzvah aseh shazman groma. It is a time-bound mitzvah. How do we know it's a time-bound mitzvah? Because, and you can see here, it's even the gematria of tzitzis should be worn during the day. Good morning, good morning. Okay, we're on page 5. Okay, so then he goes on and he says, uzchartem, I say, ksiv zchira b'tzitzis. It's mentioned the concept of remembering by tzitzis. That's why, and this is very nice, because we learned a few things from the knots, and here and from the amounts, we'll see something different. So he says, Dalit tzitzis ba'arba kanfeis bigadav, right? You put it on all the four corners. Why? Shekol mokoyim sheyifne yiskar. That's simple. What's the idea of the four corners? Whichever way you're going to turn, that's where you'll notice the tzitzis. That's symbolic. Whichever direction you go, you see the tzitzis. That's the four corners. But then he says, on the next column, ubechol echad heik sharim. And each one, there are 5 knots. What's the concept of 5 knots? He says, kadei sheyizkar lechamisha chumshei Torah. We should remember the 5 books of the Chumash. And then he says, v'yesh b'chol echad shmoina chutin. And we said there was really 4 strings, but since they're doubled over, it becomes 8. And what's the concept of 8? This is a fascinating one. Sheyimna melasais aveira b'shmoina evarim. Hamargilim la'adam la'aveira. He says that it should help a person rein in, so to speak, and give them that awareness that they shouldn't sin. And how do you know that from 8? So he says there are 8... limbs or 8 parts of our body that actually contribute or help us to do a sin. And he enumerates them. So he says like this, aznayim, well, we can hear, lashon hara, unfortunately, aznayim, we look at the wrong things, peh, that's when we talk, chaitem is the nose, which usually is not associated with aveira, but I suppose, as we know, sometimes certain smells give us certain associations that can lead us to do things that perhaps we shouldn't be doing. Yadayim, of course, our hands, our feet, we can't do without that. Erva, right, those are the intimate parts. And halev, the heart. So all these different parts of ourself, we have to be careful and watch over them, because obviously what we're saying here is that they are very special. In other words, they can do tremendous mitzvahs, but if you use them the wrong way, they can do wrong things. So that's the 8. Okay. And then he says, what happens if somebody take watches themselves from sin? What happens? Zoyche la'alois l'mayla miches rakiyim. Then he gets to go above all of the skies. Now, usually we call it Zayim. Usually we say there are 7 skies. But what the concept of ches is, because the ground. So you elevate yourself from above the ground and all the seven skies. In other words, you get to the highest elevation possible. How? By guarding and watching yourself in everything that you do. And then he says, "V'im avar b'hen aveira." But what happens if you do transgress? Nidun b'shmeina dinin b'chibut hakever u'b'shiva medures shel gehenem. We won't go into that in too much depth. But as he says, there's also on the negative side that a person can have 8 kinds of harsh judgments with the way that when he's buried, and then afterwards of 7 things of Gehenim, whatever it is. And then the other one we've done, I'm just going to see. Okay, now go to page number 6. Okay, so we did the other ones last week, so I just want to see, do a little bit of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, because he also explains it also with a lot of very nice insights. I hope it's okay. Just different beautiful things, such a mitzvah that we talk about every day. Okay, then he says, L'dayraisam v'nosnu, right, that it's given for generations. So the Aruch Chaim on page 6, the one that's bracketed, says something very fascinating. Why does it have to say for generations? All mitzvahs are for generations. We know it wasn't just given for the time of the desert. So why does this mitzvah specifically highlight that it has to be done forever? So if we think about it, because not all mitzvahs are given with a reason, but this one was. The reason is that it should remind us to serve Hashem, be a constant reminder. So he says, Hutzrach loymer l'dayraisam. He had to say for generations, L'tzad shaloy ba'a mitzvah zu ela l'zikarein ha-mitzvahs k'sheyiru aysan. Because this mitzvah is given so that we should remember all the other mitzvahs when we see this. And he says, Tavai hasvara, so somebody can have the idea and think, Laimar kishayavai dar kadosh v'tahar, that if there arises a very holy and a very pure generation, she'ein tzrichin lizikaren zeh. Well, such a generation doesn't need this reminder, because they're so good, they're just pure tzaddikim. So he says, and then they'll say, ein tzarech betzitzis, Talmud laimar l'dayraisam. That's why it doesn't matter if somebody's the greatest tzaddik in the world. Everybody wears tzitzis. Even that's what's it's a very important thing, because this is one of the reasons why many mitzvahs don't give a reason. Because some people will say, well, the reason doesn't apply, then we don't have to do the mitzvah anymore. You know, people said it in the last generation, like people were saying about kashrus. They thought, kashrus is so that we should be, you know, whatever, careful, or washing our hands so we should be hygienic. It's not true, and it doesn't say that anywhere, but I'm just saying, but then people say, oh, well, now we're anyways hygienic, I don't have to go wash my hands, right? So sometimes Torah is actually careful not to give a reason because of that. But when it does give a reason, we have to realize the reason is beautiful. It's actually like the fruits. It's there to help us, give us a geschmack in the mitzvah, but that's not what defines the mitzvah. The mitzvah is so much higher than that, and therefore it applies whether the reason applies or doesn't apply, and that's an important thing to remember. And here we see that dafki, here it's highlighted l'dayraisam. Then he continues in the next paragraph, I won't read this whole paragraph because I remember we did this last week. But I'll just tell you what he says, very interesting, because remember last week we mentioned this idea of the tcheles, that's a big thing, this blue string. We don't have it. Look at tzitzis, that doesn't have it, right? And even if people have it now, they definitely didn't have it 200 years ago. So some people might think, well, if you can't do that part, then you shouldn't do the whole thing. So that's why it put the word l'dayraisam in between, meaning after it says the word tzitzis and before the tcheles, to show us that even if you don't have the tcheles, the rest of the tzitzis mitzvah still applies. So it's not dependent one on the other. And whichever part you can do that part. That's also complete mitzvah. Okay, now go down to the bottom, and you'll see there's another bracket for Amar. Ureisa Moisa Yuzchartem Es Kol Mitzvahs Hashem, right? As we say, you'll see it, and you'll remember all the mitzvahs. So he says, what's the idea? Perush kishayabitu b'simin avaydasam yitnu leiv she'enam b'nei chayrin. Not very politically correct, the words of the Aruch Chaim. He says, when you look at the tzitzis, you'll remember you are actually not free men. Yiddishkeit doesn't say we're free men. We're not free. Nobody's free. You're not free to do whatever you like, to think whatever you like, to see whatever you like. No. We are not free men. What are we? The tzitzis reminds us, he says. As he says, l'asayis k'cheftam b'ma'acholam b'ma'abusham, to think that you can do whatever you want with your eating, with your clothing, b'diburam, with your speaking, u'b'chol ma'aseimen, with all your actions, ke'eved she'emas rabbi olav. Rather, what do we have to be? We have to be like a servant that has the fear of our master upon us. So that's what the Tzitzit reminds us. We are not free. We are slaves. We are slaves in a positive way. I mean, everybody would be honored to be slaves to Hashem, and we were chosen, and therefore we are. But it's not easy, and it's not, you know, not something, maybe some people might say, I don't like it, but that's not, no choice here. V'lamay b'shasha adayn, as he says it clearly. You stand up when the master tells you to stand. V'lasayz kol melochis asher tziva Hashem. Lasayz, we have to do everything that Hashem commanded us to do. And that's what the Tzitzit reminds us of. So, and he goes on and he says, V'loisasuru, as we say, you don't stray, you don't turn your eyes and your heart away, as we say, from what Hashem wants, Perush. L'tzad shahanigle hu davar sha'ayin chafetza v'chayshek espay. Right, I know we mentioned this last week, but he says, the fact is that whatever is revealed to us, whatever we can obviously see, that's what we want, right? Our eye sees it, and we want it. U'mitzvis ha-melech yitzivoy asayis heipech ha-ratzayin ha-tivi. He says it very strongly. A lot of our mitzvahs, I know people like to make Yiddishkeit a feel-good religion. Now, the truth is that there's tremendous benefits. Nobody's doubting. You know, keeping Shabbos is unbelievable, but that's not why we do it. And a lot of times the mitzvahs are not going to be things that we might not be in the mood or enjoy or dafka want to do at that moment. And as he says, that actually sometimes Hashem commands us things that naturally we don't want to do. Naturally, they're the opposite of our natural will, so to speak. V'sanei ha'erev ha'murgash. And actually, it hates, so to speak, the sweetness that we feel. U'min ha'nimna she'yamayt b'davar. Naturally, a person might hold themselves back from doing something that they don't feel a pleasure or don't want to do. Ela b'harasimin avdusay. But when a person sees the sign of his slavery, in this context, meaning to say, his uniform that shows him who he is and who he belongs to, then hu yachufahu, then he will force himself lahapay chasher einay velibay sham yachpites, to do things that against perhaps what his eyes and his heart want. He'll do what he has to do because he's aware that that's what he's here for. And then if you go on the other side, he says also very nicely, if you go again where I've bracketed, ani Hashem aleikechem perush chiyuv ha'avdus she'einay mechayiv eschem simin. He says it's something which, it's like this, as we said, this concept that we are Hashem's servants, we are meant to serve him, and therefore we have a certain sign. I don't know if he says it over here. I just want to see. Yeah, I think, I don't know if we mentioned it before. Perhaps it's the Kliyakar that says it, but it also follows along in this idea that every single person who's working for somebody, you work for a company, well, nowadays not so much, but let's say in a hospital, a nurse or even a pilot, they have uniforms. The stewardesses, they all have uniforms. And what's the idea of a uniform? Sometimes a uniform is so that other people can identify you, but sometimes it's also when you're wearing your uniform, you remind yourself that you're at work. And therefore, you cannot waste your time. You're being paid for your time, right? You have to do what you, and also you have to hold up a certain image because you're wearing that uniform. And Tzitzis actually is part of that idea. It is a uniform that literally gives us that identity that who are we? We belong to Hashem. We belong to Hashem, and therefore we have a certain set of practice that we have to keep. So it's also a very beautiful idea. And then I just want to go to the next one. Umeata. Now he says something very beautiful. He says, that's why banu lahaskil al davar emes, to understand something honest and truthful. So it's the fourth paragraph and the second column. Asher tziva Hashem b'mitzvah zu she'ein lasay tzitzis ela b'kasas bas dalid knafis. He says we have to make tzitzis specifically on a garment that has four corners. V'loy bas gimel, v'loy bas hay. Not three corners, not five corners. I mean, I know we don't think four corners to us feels normal because four, but still, who says? Maybe it could have been a few more, I don't know how you say when you sew, you know, you could have made a few more cuts, seams, exactly, and had a few more corners. No, the only time you're actually obligated is when you have four. There is a whole discussion in halacha of what happens if you have five. Some people would, yes, do it in the olden time, but for sure, it's not as clear as we know as it says four corners. Why? So he says, what's the idea? Ki litzad tzitzis hi simin ha'avdos, since, as he says, this whole idea of tzitzis is this sign that we are Hashem's servants. Yitzav Hashem sheya simin gam ken yagid milanu adayin. So Hashem made it that the uniform itself reminds us Who is the master? Who are we subjugating ourselves to? Now, how does the four corners show that? Kiyimtze, gam kein, davar zeh b'malchei aretz. So he says, this is what you find also with kings in the world. Shekol echad yaseh min simen echad l'avadav. Each one will make their own specific type of uniform, their own specific type of sign. V'nikara simen shel kol echad. And each one is recognizable and identify. This one, now you belong to this, now you belong to that. And he says, u'kumbay kein gazar Hashem, sheloi naseh simen. Hashem said we should make a sign dafka on something which has four corners. Who are we servants to? Hashem, who created the four corners of the world. That's the idea of the four corners. The four corners of the world. In other words, Hashem, who is truly the master over and the creator of the universe, that's the one that we are subjugating ourselves to. And he said, Lirma is ki malkeinu ha-bayir, as we said, v'lazeh b'yoyis ha-talis bas-gimel bas-hei, avda ha-kavana v'ein la-seis bat-tzitzis. So that's why if it's three or five, better not to make the tzitzis, because that's confusing, because we're trying to remind ourselves of that Hashem who rules over the four corners of the earth. And then he says, "V'tziva sheyu achutin lavan." Why do we have to have white? Why specifically white strings, except for the one blue one, which either two or what different opinions, but definitely most of them are white. Lirsham simanov yisparech, to show us the imprint of Hashem. What is it? Ki midaisav hei midas harachamim v'atayiv. What is Hashem, and what are we supposed to remember? Who are we subjugating ourselves to? Not just to anybody, but to Hashem, who is a God of compassion, a God of kindness. And that is symbolized ramos b'min halavan in this concept of white. Gam ha-tcheles lirmeis al-shlitasei b'shamayim. The tcheles is blue to show us that he rules over the heavens. Ki ha-tcheles daim l'rakia. And then I just wanted to see... Sure, sure.
I understand that when a man takes it upon himself to wear tzitzit, he has a tremendous responsibility because he's representing...
You're right. So,
something wonderful. And if he doesn't act accordingly,
it's a problem.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's a chilul Hashem, as you would say. Yes, you're right. That's actually part of it. But the truth is that you're 100% right. But what we have to realize is all of us have that. You know, believe it or not, somehow they identify us. It's like we have a stamp. We're Jewish. So we have to be very careful with how we behave. I know, 100%, 100%. But you are right, A tzitzit definitely, but that's the whole idea. That's the whole idea, so that a person should constantly be remembering, you know, jolt yourself back to, better be careful. But you're right, so it's true. Okay, just very quickly to finish off over here, he says that that's also the idea of the four strings, which become eight. He says that also, very interesting, what's the idea? Because we know that the name of Hashem is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, right? That's one name, that's four. And the truth is, Hashem is known, the other famous is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. So the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is the name of kindness. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud is more justice. So there's four strings, but they're folded over, so they become eight. So the truth is that Hashem is the God of kindness, and that's the compassion, and that's really the God that runs our life, mostly. But also it incorporates justice, so it becomes eight. And it has both names of Hashem within it, all eight letters. That's symbolic in the tzitzis. The last thing that he says also is that, I think we mentioned this last time, that the blue comes dafke from a fish, and the fish comes from the sea, not from anything else that has the color. And that was the idea also, because the sea is, like, so to speak, reflects the sky. And that's the idea of that compassion comes from mehatayra hanermezes biyam. And this is also beautiful because water is symbolic of tayra. So the fish comes out of the water. We could have had a dye from something else, from a plant, but dafka we take a dye from a fish which is in water. And the idea being that we have to remember, even though, as we say, Torah really incorporates everything, but ultimately, Torah is a Torah of compassion, of love, because it's given by Hashem, who is of love and compassion. And that's why all of these things is what we remember when we see the tzitzis. So it's quite a beautiful idea, and also very, very magnificent, the idea that, why do we say compassion to do with a fish, because you know this famous thing that fish don't close their eyes. But that's the idea. There's no ayin hara on fish. No ayin hara. The idea being that we'll get a tremendous amount of brachas. And it does say that somebody who wears tzitzis, it's one of the ways to be mamshich, to draw down tremendous brachas. Obviously, it's not just for themselves, it's for their whole family. So it's a, I'll share something. I once heard I heard it from the Rebbe himself, a beautiful, phenomenal idea, because I know we mentioned that we don't wear the tzitzis, but, and this is interesting for people, we don't wear tzitzis, but first of all, two things. Maybe in a previous Gilgul, we were a man. You know that people have come down a different Gilgulim. And the idea is that a man doesn't do certain mitzvahs that a woman does. A woman doesn't do certain mitzvahs that a man does. And therefore, the neshama comes down different times in different forms in order to be able to do all of the different mitzvahs as much as possible. There are certain mitzvahs nobody will ever do. Like, not everybody will be a kohen gadol or a king, right? So that's not possible. But a man and a woman mitzvah, you can come down once as a man, once as a woman. But there's also a concept that, and this is not, obviously it's not always going to be the case because depending on your circumstance, but it's good for us to remember for our own mitzvahs. The mitzvahs that we do, let's say that a man doesn't do, when we do our mitzvahs, we actually cover the men in our family. That's how it works. So whether it be a husband or a son who might not be doing that mitzvah, we are doing it for them. And the mitzvah that the man does, he does for us as well. Now, sometimes the man in our life might not be doing the mitzvah, but that must mean that we don't have to have that mitzvah. But for us to remember, it's actually important because when we do a mitzvah, sometimes when we're not so much in the mood, you have to remember it's not just for us. Other people are also affected by the mitzvahs that we're doing. So when we light Shabbos candles, it covers for all the men who are not lighting Shabbos candles, because we are lighting the Shabbos candles. So the tzitzis that somebody else from the family wears also brings the same bracha for us as well. And I don't know why I'm thinking about my grandmother, because she always used to like comments about my grandfather's talis, and like how it got so dirty. But I think the women, they're the ones who are responsible to wash the talis and make sure, so that they always remember that way. Definitely. Okay, coming on page 7 for a minute just to see the Kliyaka. I won't do this all inside, but I just want to share because he has also a very beautiful other angle to tzitzis. As he says, what's the whole idea of tzitzis? So let's see, I want to read just a little bit. Okay, so first of all, a very fascinating thing. He says, remember we said the whole time that tzitzis, the blue, reminds you of the sky and we think of God. He says it a little bit differently. He says, it reminds you of the sky and the ocean. Why? Because when you wake up in the morning, and it's true, what do we take for granted? I mean, if it's a nice day, the sun is going to rise in the east and it's going to set in the west, right? That's it every day. We just know it's going to happen. We know if we go to Bondi Beach that the waves will come, but they'll only come to a certain point. They're not going further. They never go further. No matter how much they want to, so to speak, no matter how excited they look, they always crash and they end at a certain point. Why? I mean, we just say scientifically, we'll find many reasons why. But Torah tells us because they have the fear of God, because nature follows what Hashem has instructed them to do. That's why. Because Hashem instructed them and they do it. And that's what we're meant to remember. Just like the sky follows Hashem and the sun sets in a certain way every day and the ocean, even though it's full of vigor and full of excitement and it still doesn't go further than it's supposed to, so too we have to rail ourselves in and realize the limitations that Hashem has put on us for our good, but we have to follow them and we should be as consistent as possible. Not easy, but that's the idea, that's the beauty, that's the reminder of the mitzvah of tzitzis also. So that was another very interesting angle that was a bit different. Just want to see. Oh, and then he also adds, there's also a beautiful thing that, because we talk about serving Hashem and, you know, the concept of subjugating and that we're the servants, this is to do with fear, right? This is the concept of fear of Hashem. You know, a servant serves their master out of fear. And in a sense, this is almost what we're emphasizing here. Fear in a sense of awe. You know, you're doing it because that's what Hashem wants. He's your master, and that's extremely important. But there is another component, and that is the component of love. And I just want to see how you see love here. Ah, so he says the blue shows us the concept of love. Because the blue, as we can see, is like the sky, and the sky is like the Kisei HaKavod. How does that help us realize that we should also be serving Hashem with love, not just out of fear? Because when you fear somebody, what ends up happening is that you do what they want, but you shrink back a little bit, right? You're afraid. That's what fear is. Fear means you're afraid. So you hold back. Love means you come close. That's what love, you know, you hug somebody. You want to, it means you want to really come close to them. So he says, when you remember that the Kisei HaKavod and how you yearn to be as close as you can to Hashem, that arouses in you that feeling that I shouldn't just serve Hashem with awe, but I should serve Hashem with a geshmak, with love. Because truthfully, what do I want? I want to be close to Hashem. I want to be in His presence. So the tzitzis reminds us of both, of the idea of serving Hashem by following His rules strictly, as well as serving Hashem wanting to come close to Him, wanting because I love Him. And that's what the clear. So it has actually both components, which is why it's such a beautiful uniform in that sense. It has such benefit in that way. Let me just see. And also that's why, okay, so this is about, it also reminds us of the reward both in this world and in the world to come. I just want to see. Oh, and then the last point was also very beautiful. And he says like this. Now, do you know what? I'm just going to read the last, look at the last two paragraphs. Haderech, it's in, I didn't bracket, but it's the last two paragraphs on the second column. Haderech Hasheni, Shekol HaMitzvah Nimshalu LeBeget. All mitzvahs are compared to clothing, he says. Sheneemar b'chol eis yu b'gadecha levenim, at all times, your clothing should be white. Omnam yesh hevdol beineyem, but there's differences. Kistam beged, orug dafke min chutin harbe, ki chut echad ein bay kedei liskases. The truth is that mitzvahs are like clothing. It's explained even in Kabbalah. That's the idea that Torah, learning Torah, is like food. We consume it. A mitzvah is more something that surrounds us in a sense. It envelops us. And actually it envelops us with the presence of Hashem, the connection that we have. But it's like clothing. Usually though, when you talk about ordinary clothing, clothing has to be made out of many threads. You cannot make a clothing out of one thread. That's not going to cover much. Huh, what happens? Yes.
Can you grab your
car keys? Oh, sure. It's, sorry. I'm sorry. I'll give you.
No problem.
Thank you so much. Okay. So clothing, so what do we say? So here you said like this interesting thing. That's normal clothing that have to cover a body. You need more than one thread. But what happens to clothing that covers the neshama? He says it's very different. Very beautiful thing. He says that the tchut shel tcheles that we're talking about here, that one string of tcheles that's highlighted here. He says, a masker is called mitzvah Hashem, ki al yodai nase beged sholem l'neshama. One mitzvah can actually become a full clothing for the neshama. And why is that? How could that work? Like we say, if you're comparing it physically, it shouldn't work. Because he says something very beautiful. You know, there's a very beautiful idea that mitzvah geireres mitzvah. One mitzvah brings to another mitzvah. And we know that that's true. You get into, you know, you do what, which means that every mitzvah potentially already contains all the other mitzvahs. Because as soon as you're engaging in that mitzvah, it brings you to do the next. It brings you to do the next. So therefore, one mitzvah can cover your neshama. Because potentially, it contains all the mitzvahs. What's the idea? The ideas are very powerful. And he brings here, actually, he says, this is the mitzvah of tzitzis and also Avos Yisrael, specifically he mentions. The mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, this is definitely one that we all can do, and I think women definitely are, actually a lot of the mitzvahs of Avos Yisrael, which are the sub-mitzvahs, Bikur Chaylin, and even, you know, all the different mitzvahs that really women have a lot, you know, all the mitzvahs that we list in the morning, right? The mitzvahs of visiting the sick or of burying somebody or of, you know, all these different things that we do that have a lot to do with women doing a lot of these mitzvahs, Achnasas Arachim, all these mitzvahs. This is actually one drop, like you start, you do one, and it leads you to another. Sometimes you don't even have a choice. If you think about it, if you get to know somebody, right, you reach out to them, now you know them, so now you know all more of their needs, right? So that's what ends up happening. So you end up doing more and more and more. It just automatically leads you to doing more and more and more. So therefore, he says that just one mitzvah is already a full garment for the neshama. And that's what he's saying over here also. The one string of tcheles already can cover and be equivalent to all 613 mitzvahs, because you'll remember when you look at the tcheles, we'll remember the sea, we'll remember the sky, we'll remember Hashem, and how we want to come close to Him, and slowly, and one thing leads to the next. So just a very beautiful idea also. Okay, now, one last thing that I know you don't have. Oh, you do have something in front of you, I think, because I made today. Do you have a Rambam? Yeah, I want to show you something beautiful. So I said, so we mentioned this concept that besides all the technical details, so to speak, of the mitzvah, there was the idea that we said that the mitzvah of tzitzis also helps us not to stray, right? Not to stray after our eyes, not to stray after our, you know, all the negative things. Okay, so it's a very interesting question that's asked. We want the tzitzis, we don't just want to prevent ourselves, as we said. The tzitzis also is a reminder to do good things, right? So I just want to read you, let me see in the Rambam that you have in front of you, because there's always the big question that we have about how should a person come to love and fear of Hashem, right? What's going to bring somebody to coming to love and fear of Hashem? So I just want to show you something. If you look in this, this is from the Rambam, from the beginning of the Rambam, from Hilchas Yisoid HaTorah. Read a drop inside, some in Hebrew, some in English. It says Perek Sheni, you have in front of you. Look at Halacha Beis. And this is actually interesting because this is not technically philosophy. This is Halacha. It says, Ve'eichid ha'derech la'avasai v'yirasai. How, what is the path to attain love and fear of Hashem? He says, B'shashi yizbainein ha'adam, when a person will contemplate b'maisav u'bruav ha'niflaim, his wondrous and great deeds of creation, ha'gedoylim, the great ones, v'yira mehen chachmasai. So you go outside, and as we've said this many times, but it is so true. I mean, today Tu B'Shvat is another day to remember. Even just looking at the fruits that Hashem made, I mean, it's just incredible. Especially a pomegranate. I mean, it's the most magnificent fruit. Just to be careful where you cut it if you don't want to stain anything. But it is. It's really such a beautiful, intricate fruit with such detail. You study. You just go outside and you look at a tree. I mean, here you walk and you see the different plants, the different types of leaves. You look at it, and what does it fill you with? If you're a normal person, you think, wow, what kind of God can create such complexity, such diversity, such magnificence, such beauty? It's unreal. As he says in Laizid of Chachamah, Ein la erech v'lo keitz, right? A wisdom which has no beginning, no end, it's infinite. Miyad hu oyev, so he immediately leads you to love, u'mishabeach, and to praise, u'mifar, right? And to like wonder, u'misave, taiva gedayla, leida Hashem agdayla. It makes you a deep yearning to know who is this God that created such a magnificent world. So you can see from the Rambam, the way to come to love and fear is by using your eyes and reflecting upon creation. We just said in our paragraph of Shema, V'loy sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem. You shouldn't stray after your heart and after your eyes. So which one is it? Do we use our eyes to reflect and contemplate? Or should we say, no, maybe we should walk around with closed eyes because the eyes are dangerous, because you see it, then you want it, as we said, and then it leads us to sin. What's the difference? See, it's very interesting. Before we go, I just want to show you something else beautiful. Really, this is such a beautiful thing for somebody to do at length. From the Chavis Alvavas, we're not going to do from Shaar HaBetachon, actually. This, people don't, the Shaar HaBetachon is one of the gates, but there's many gates. One of his gates is called the Gate of Reflection. That's the gate. Shaar HaBechina. Because he goes through a whole thing of how you get to serving Hashem. So first he talks about the importance of, I think the first one is the importance of Yichud, of knowing that there's God. And then how you want to have a relationship, right? You want to come to love and fear Hashem. So the Sefer HaChinuch gives us a very, very simple formula. How do you come to love and fear Hashem? You have to start reflecting. What should you reflect on? Look around. Open your eyes, he says, and look around. And he goes into detail. It's so beautiful. Of all the wonders of creation and the kindnesses that Hashem does for us, both, as we say, in the natural phenomenon, the plants and the animals, but also in the human being and in the way Hashem set up the social structure and everything about a human being. But before, I just want to read you one paragraph from that. But before I do that, I just want to share, he says such a beautiful thing. And obviously what that will do is fill you with a sense of gratitude to Hashem, for sure, because you'll start to recognize, but more than that, you'll recognize that there is a God, and therefore you want to start serving Him, you want to relate to Him. So he says a beautiful example, which is quite a phenomenal, and he says, it gives an interesting mashal. He says, imagine if there is a very, very kind, compassionate person, and he happens to one time, whatever, he's walking, or he's going, or he finds out about a child who's been abandoned. And he takes in a baby, he takes the baby in, and he raises this child, and the child grows up. He gives him everything, takes care of him beautifully. Well, the child grows up, and the child does feel a sense of gratitude, no question, and very nice. But then he says, this same kind, compassionate man, one day, finds out about a person who's been captured, an adult. He's been captured somewhere by somebody. He goes, and he actually arranges that the person is freed, and then he takes him to his home, and he rehabilitates him a little bit for just a few months, you know, till the person's ready to start out again on his own. The Rabbeinu Bechaya, he says something interesting. He says, which one of these two will feel more gratitude? Very interesting. The adult, right? The one, which one did he really do a lot more for? A lot more for the child. So what's the difference? Why? Yeah, it's very interesting. Some of it is maturity, just that, yeah.
The baby doesn't understand.
Even as they get older. Exactly. It's a certain like expectation almost, and it's just you become used to it, and it's not, as you say, it's sort of, it's continuous, and it's fascinating. The one who, even if it's a short time, and it's not such a massive thing, but he will feel tremendous appreciation. He says the same thing with us. You know, Hashem does everything for us. From the minute we're born, we're only born because of Hashem. That's why we tend to take it for granted. So he says, unless we stop and we literally pause and reflect, and that's why he calls it Shar HaBechina, but we have to reflect on the small things, literally, the smallest of the small things, and start to take things apart, we will walk around with just constant expectations and no feeling of gratitude and no recognition even that there is even Hashem. We can even forget that he's doing anything for us. So that's why we have to constantly remind ourselves and reflect. That's Acharei Einechem. We should go after our eyes. I just want to read you one paragraph, just because it's so beautiful. Oh, I lost the place. Oh, he says it so, let me just see. I'll just read you one in English. This is like just one out of many. He says, one of man's many blessings is that as a child, he's not a thinker and is unable to distinguish from good from bad. For if his mind and if his powers of perception were fully matured while he was growing up, and he was aware of the advantage other people had over him in their ability to manage for themselves, move freely and keep clean, and he realized that his own situation was quite the opposite in all these respects, he would die of anxiety and sorrow. What is remarkable is that crying is beneficial to infants. I don't know now. Okay, this is his side. This has been 1,000 years ago, but very interesting. He has a whole thing. He said nowadays parents will definitely say it's not true, but whatever. According to expert physicians, he says, there is a humor, it's called like a fluid, in the infant's brains, which if allowed to remain there would have harmful effects. Crying dissolves this humor and releases it from the brain, and the infants are saved from its injurious effects. He goes on and he says also about the teeth, how they're replaced gradually so the child can eat even while they're losing and then gaining their teeth. He's exposed to sickness and painful accidents. This is fascinating. 1,000 years ago. He did, as if he knew about immune, like the concept of being immune. He says he is exposed to sickness and painful accidents so that he understands the world and so that its true nature not remain hidden from him, lest he be lulled into a false sense of security, be dominated by his baser instincts, and become like an unintelligent and senseless beast. As is written, don't be a horse or a mule, whatever. Anyways, he goes on and he talks about thinking about all the different beautiful things that happen in the body. All very, very fascinating things. Anyways, there's a lot here. But the idea being to reflect, but to see, use your eyes. So what's the difference? What's the difference between what our Pasuk is saying and what these, you know, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Bechai is telling us? Where is it a good thing to use our eyes, and where should we have to be careful about using our eyes? It's a very interesting difference, one slight difference. The Rambam, do you see the introduction he gave? He said, what does a person want to do? He wants to come to loving and fearing Hashem, which means this person has already decided the outcome of what he wants to get out of what he sees, right? So he already decides that there is a God, that he has to be grateful to God. He knows it. He knows it in his mind, but he wants to feel it. He wants to develop it. He wants to remember it. He wants to make it much more real to himself and much more internalized. So therefore, he uses his eyes in the proper way. If a person is going to wake up in the morning and they're saying, I'm going to let my eyes dictate the conclusion that I come to, that's going to be trouble. So if you're coming with an already idea, which we learn in Torah, that's why you learn first, that's why you say Ma'idahani first, and you recognize that there is a God, then you can open your eyes and look and see and take it all in and reflect. But of course, when the Pasuk tells us, Lo sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem, we realize that we have to be very careful. So we reflect and we look, but as soon as we start to wander in our mind and say, well, you know, look at all the not nice things that Hashem has created, we put ourselves in check and we say, hold on a minute. What are we supposed to be looking at? What are we supposed to be seeing? What are we supposed to be internalizing? So it's you have to decide before. And that's also why. See, it's a very interesting difference. So because in Torah, it's a very beautiful idea. In Torah, there's nothing really bad, as we say, like in the world. It depends how you use it. So it's the same thing. When you see what you're seeing, what your heart wants. So if you see it the right way, then your heart, it will bring you to your, as we say, that your heart will develop a love of Hashem. Because here we're talking about the eye seeing and the heart, you know, wanting the negative. But it could be totally the opposite in the right way, if you start out with the right idea to begin with. So it's a very, very beautiful idea. You can see that comes through both of them. Okay, I think we're going to stop here. I feel bad. It's just because it doesn't really pay to start the next parsha. I know it's a bit early. I don't know if we should start the next parsha. I'll just tell you quickly that what we're going to do next week in Beis Hashem is we're going to start Parshas Koyrach. Oh, Parshas Koyrach is one of the parshas that I actually struggle with. I don't know it enough, so I'll learn as we go along, because it's a hard one. It's a hard one. As we're talking about dwelling on positive, and that's almost, in a sense, have a certain negative connotation. But we'll see next week. I saw a beautiful, beautiful idea that the Rebbe shares about the actual lessons that we learn from Koyrach in really a positive way. And we'll see that next week, even before we start the inside story, to give us a certain perspective. But I guess, as we say with ourselves, nothing is absolutely good or bad. It's just how we use it. And even Koyrach himself, his children, right? We have some tillim from them. Some of them were, you know, they became quite great. So somehow some of them were saved. But the point is that there's always a possibility of tshuva. But what we do know from Koyrach is that one of the most negative things is when there's no unity. That's the worst thing, you know, and it does lead to the worst. No unity, yeah, when it's arguments and, yeah.
But didn't he envy?
Yeah, that was the problem, big problem. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, and it leads to, lots of not good things, as we know. So we'll see. But again, also to put in context, something that people are not aware, Koyrach was actually, even not only wealthy, you know, Reich wie Koyrach, you know, the Yiddish expression. He was talking the one that apparently had the most wealth that anybody ever accumulated in the whole world, apparently. The wealthiest, literally the top of the, what's that list? The 100, yeah, he was the top for all the years, for the whole world. But he was also actually a very brilliant man, a big Torah scholar, and in a certain way, he was actually a tzaddik. I mean, he had a certain righteousness to him, but he was misled, very, very misguided in himself, and yeah. So
Alex, where does the idea that